Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
From Pac-Man to Bonnie and Clyde, lots happening in this week in pop culture history. And Kieran O'Connor from 98FM is with me to take a look back. You are starting with my first pair of jeans.
Wow, okay. Well, not 151 years ago, but that's how far we are going back. 151 years. The 20th of May, 1873, when Levi's, the jeans that we know, with the copper riveted pants, they were patented. So that's how long Levi's are in business. It started off with Levi Strauss, who was a San Francisco businessman. He imported clothing and he was kind of working in western states where there was a lot of gold miners and people who needed pants that lasted. And a friend of his who was a tailor said, "I have an idea. How about we use that material you have? We put some rivets on the stress points, so around pockets and around the fly and things like that." And Levi's, as we know them now, came into the world, blew up, and one of the most famous recognised pants in the world.
Absolutely. When you say the copper, you mean just the normal, the blue wash jeans with that copper threading?
That's it. No, with the rivets. So you know around the pockets on some jeans, the little rivet. That's because they're stress points. So the rivets are there to help keep the pants. And especially, say, for gold miners who were using them at the time, up and down, moving around, carrying things, so their pants weren't ripping.
So how did they become trendy then? Like, how did the rest of us, I suppose, start to buy them?
As simple as marketing. Marketing is what took it off. And if you actually look at any of the Levi ads, it was always these good looking ripped guys who wore them with no t-shirts on.
Yeah, it was kind of a bit of a Diet Coke vibe off it.
Exactly, that's what it was. And it clearly worked. And here we are still 151 years on, wearing Levi's everywhere. And it's funny, at the time, a lot of people working from home now today. This is probably the first work from home as we know it. Before Levi Strauss had a factory, he had his employees were all seamstresses who were working from their homes.
Wow.
And now in his factory turned into the selling 200 million pairs of blue jeans.
Are you a Levi man?
I'm kind of whatever type of jean fits.
Really?
Depending on the season. If it's Christmas, I might need to go for a different type of style.
I remember going to America years and years ago and I like just being so excited about buying Levi jeans in America. Like, it's amazing as a brand and the concept, how we just all bought into it.
It still is one of the best selling brands when it comes to clothing. 200 million pairs of blue jeans have been sold by that company. Well, let's go back 44 years ago. When you hear sound effects like that, it brings it back to your youth. And Pac-Man arrived 44 years ago this week, the 22nd of May, 1980. A Japanese brand, Namco, brought this legendary arcade game into our life. I guess it's been compared to the golden arches of video games. When we see those golden arches, we know McDonald's. When we see that Pac-Man logo, we know exactly what it is. We know from that theme song alone what it is.
I didn't from the theme.
Would you not?
No.
Oh, well,
initially I had to stop to think, was it I'm thinking from the Game Boy.
Mario?
No. It's gone out of my head.
Zelda.
Tetris, isn't it?
Oh, Tetris.
Yeah, yes. Initially I did think, was that the start of it?
It's that 8-bit beepity beepity beep. Yeah, they all sound the same, but that's the opening of Pac-Man. When you put your few cent into the Pac-Man machine and that's the loading screen, that's the sound comes on, and then Pac-Man goes around chasing the little blue dots and the ghosts. And
I don't think I've ever played this.
Andrea.
I don't think I have.
There's an arcade somewhere here in Cork that you need to go out and you need to check Pac-Man. Somewhere here in Cork has an arcade with Pac-Man.
I know of it, but I just don't think I've ever played it. Like, where would you have played it?
Video games growing up. I mean, PlayStation 1, you could have got it. There was Game Boy, even on computers now.
I had a Game Boy as a child, yeah.
Yeah, but if you go into any arcade game across the country, you will find a Pac-Man machine. Put a euro or two in and you'll have fun. Then you want another euro or two. And then you want another one because you won't be able to
spend it. That's where the problem starts, yeah.
But it is one of the biggest video games in the world, generating $14 billion. So,
and it's 1980 when it was first released.
1980 when it first
this
came
week.
To us.
It's pretty incredible. This is another story I think a lot of people will remember.
How are you? This here's Miss Bonnie Parker.
Glad to meet you.
I'm Clyde Barrett.
We rob banks.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, so that clip there from the 1967 film called Bonnie and Clyde. I mean, an iconic duo it's still a name that you would call people, especially if you see, oh, there's Bonnie and Clyde, a few pals coming together. But they were notorious criminals. And 90 years ago this week, the 23rd of May, 1934, is when Bonnie and Clyde were shot. So they were American bandits. They were murderers. They robbed stores and funeral homes all across the Midwest of America. They had a relationship that lasted 2 years, and during that time they just went on a spree that involved robberies.
They were big bank robbers, weren't they?
Massive bank robbers as well, yeah. And that's what they did until they were ambushed by police and shot dead 90 years ago this week. At that stage, they're believed to have murdered 9 police officers and 4 civilians. And I mean, they're synonymous in pop culture. That film there, you just heard Bonnie and Clyde. The Highwaymen is out on Netflix now, which kind of depicts from the law side them tracking Bonnie and Clyde.
So and it's out on Netflix now?
On Netflix, yeah.
Oh, I might actually watch that. Sounds like something I'd like. They were sort of, I don't want to say glamorised, but I suppose because they were two very famous criminals and bank robbers, and the level of movies that were made about them, like they were somehow glamorised a little bit.
I guess they were glamorised. I guess two young, good looking bank thieves travelling across America, living the life. And I mean, who would
the male female partnership?
Yeah, who wouldn't want to make a movie on this?
Yeah, buy into it a little bit. There you go. 1934. This was somebody that I absolutely loved. The Queen of Rock and Roll?
Yeah, the Queen and Rock and Roll, Anne May Bullock, or as she's better known, Tina Turner, died this week, last year, the 24th of May, 2023, in her home in Switzerland. An almighty career she had, some amazing music. However, she didn't live the most charming of life growing up. It was quite a tough life she had. She was one of 3 girls born in Tennessee. Her autobiography is fantastic read, but she actually states in it that her parents never loved her. 11 years of age, she went off to live with her grandmother. So quite a tough upbringing she had. Went on to marry Ike Turner of the King of Rhythm band, which she joined. She was the lead vocalist. That relationship ended up unfortunately splitting up as well. However, it was her solo career that made Tina Turner the woman that we know, the queen of rock and roll. Not only did she star in 2 movies, but I mean, along the way, she picked up 12 Grammys, 9 studio albums, 100 million records were sold worldwide. So one of the best-selling recording artists of all time is Tina Turner.
Is there a Netflix documentary based on her life out, or did I take that up right?
I don't know now.
No?
No.
But she had a really difficult, really difficult upbringing. And I actually don't think I really realised the extent of it until she passed away last year.
Yeah, and I think that for a lot of us as well, that's when her autobiography went back to number one and people were rewatching her movies and things like that. So a tough upbringing. However, a career that made her one of the world's biggest recording artists and one of the most well-respected and highly successful recording artists in the world.
One of probably the most sought-after karaoke wannabe tunes
as well. Who doesn't want to sing a Tina
Turner
track?
If you could sing Tina, you're wasted in karaoke. I think this woman has had another fantastic career as well.
And I thank you for being as much of a sweet inspiration for me as I've tried to be for you. I won't say goodbye. I'll just say, until we meet again.
Oprah.
Another icon. That's a clip from Oprah Winfrey's last TV show, the final episode broadcast this week, the 25th of May, 2011, which is 13 years ago.
Is it that gone that long?
Yeah, 13 years she's gone off the telly. A show that started on AM radio over in Chicago. So this is where she started, on the radio, and moved to one of the biggest syndicated daytime talk shows in the world. 25 seasons. There's not many TV shows that last that long.
No, and particularly daytime television, because that's notoriously difficult.
Especially in the States. Tough. She cracked it. Some of the most harrowing, heartbreaking, amazing interviews we've seen come through Oprah throughout the years. She picked up 47 daytime Emmys, and it got to the stage where in 2002 she actually stopped the Emmy committee from considering her for any more, because she wanted other people to be successful. She probably had no other space to hang these in her house. But I mean, she made other things famous. It wasn't just Oprah and her show. Her book club, Dr. Phil is something we wouldn't have without Oprah. And the prizes. Everyone knows Oprah for you get a car and you get a car and you get a car. And
yeah. One for everybody in the audience sort of vibe.
Yeah, kind of. But the Oprah way. Instead, she gave out cars and lots of them. But it was, this week, 13 years ago, the final Oprah show was hosted Amazing. Over in the States after 4,500 episodes.
That's pretty incredible. Kieran O'Connor, as always, thanks a million, Kieran, for joining us here on the programme.
Thank you.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.